Ezekiel Elliott. And he's got an opening. Elliott off to the races. Can they catch him? No, they can't. Touchdown. 85 yards.
It's so easy to be average. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player.
Braxton Miller's loose. Spin move. Miller heading for the end zone.
We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
We're going inside him. We're going outside him. Inside him, outside him. And when we get him on the run once, we're going to keep him on the run. And we're not going to pass unless our secondary comes up too close. But don't forget, man, we're going to get him on the run. We're going to go, 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 go. And we aren't going to stop until we go to that goal line. Don't forget, man, today, we're going to win.
Menace to...
It is October 11th, Friday. Bye week for the Buckeyes, couple decent games in the Midwest, but we have a very special episode here, and I'm really fortunate and excited to welcome one of my former players, Buckeye great, NFL Super Bowl starter with the Carolina Panthers, Philly Brown, coming in a minute. Great interview, great time catching up with Philly, and he and I talk quite a bit, but it was good to have him on. He's one of the smartest players I've been around. One of the smartest players I've coached, and he really understands the game at a very, very intelligent level. And so just excited to have him on the show. Just before we get to the interview with Philly, I kind of want to give you a background on Philly Brown and what he meant to me and our program, and really what he meant to the Buckeyes that you watch today. And this is going to speak on a very general level, because this goes for any program that's trying to improve, trying to change the culture. The biggest thing you see, especially in transition with a new staff coming in, and we were fortunate to have a phenomenal foundation built by Jim Tressel, and so it was our job to just enhance and improve it and try to take it to another level. And that's obviously what Urban did. And what happens is when you go into a program and that program has not had success, it's easy to inspire players to change because they want to experience success. Well, the situation at Ohio State when Urban Meyer came in, they had already experienced success, though they were coming off of a season where they only won six games and there was a lot of turmoil. I mean, that was kind of understood as just a transition year, and there was it was a mess. But those players that were there still had experienced success 2 years earlier under Jim Tressel. So it wasn't a complete implosion. It was a unique situation where a new coach comes in and doesn't need to just absolutely rewrite every detail of the program because it was already a solid program. And so what that created was players that had apprehension because they had seen a different way to succeed. And so this new coaching staff comes in with different philosophies, different ways of doing things, and we had to get them to buy in. Talking about my group specifically, as a leader of a group, I had to go into what it was coined at the time by the media, by Urban Meyer, and really by anyone that watched them. They called it the clown show. It was embarrassing to the history and tradition that was the Ohio State receiver group. And so it was about trying to transform the culture in that room from what it was, which was, I think, the leading receiver had 14 catches the year before we got there, into what you're watching today at Ohio State and what you really have watched over the last 7 years transform into one of the best groups in the country. To do that, I had to empower, I had to convince one of the leaders, probably the best player, to do it my way, to do it our way, and had to get him to buy in so that he could permeate that buy-in throughout the group. And it took about a year to do it, but by about 2013, it really took off. And I credit Philly Brown with being the catalyst that started the transformation. And then I've publicly given Michael Thomas a ton of credit, but he really took what Philly was doing and the buy-in that Philly Brown had and enhanced it even more. And then you watched it as it continued when Paris Campbell and Terry McLaurin and Johnny Dixon and those guys were leaders, how they enhanced it even more. And now you're watching guys like KJ Hill. You just watch this culture and this philosophy, personality of a group just enhance and enhance and enhance. But to get that started, you really have to get buy-in. And really, ultimately, you have to incite the change. You have to get that to happen, and to make it happen is really hard. And then to get it, then everything gets a little bit easier. Once you get that culture to change completely, then it's about enhancement, and that's easier. And then it's about continuing the culture, and that's even easier. But I really credit Philly Brown with being that catalyst that changed my group, and is a major reason why the receiver group has played so well the last however 5 years is because of Philly. So excited to check up with him, to catch up with him, and really just get his thoughts on the 2019 Ohio State Buckeyes, his time in the NFL, his experience developing in Urban Meyer's program, and just get his insight for everyone to kind of jump into the mind of Philly Brown. Do you ever find yourself wishing that you could make some extra cash with your NFL knowledge? At MyBookie, they want to make your dream come true this season. Right now, all players are invited to play in the free $50,000 Survivor Contest. Winner takes all. Contest starts October 8th and closes October 14th before the start of Monday Night Football. Pick one team each week, survive the longest, and you can take home $50,000 in cash. Make a successful deposit with MyBookie and you'll receive a free entry into the contest today. Between football season, the Major League Baseball playoffs, and the start of NBA and NHL seasons, it's time to get off the sideline and get into action. If you're the kind of guy who likes to bet a little to win a lot, try a parlay. For instance, if you like a couple of the big favorites this week, parlays are perfect because they let you bet multiple games together for a much bigger payout. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag because no one gives you more ways to win. If you really want to support your team this season, don't just sit on the sidelines. Get in the game with MyBookie. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use promo code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, to activate the offer. That's promo code MENACE to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. All right, so we're coming to you with Philly Brown, Buckeye great, former NFL player, and an all-around conscientious and very intelligent football mind, which is why, Philly, I wanted to have you on, other than the fact that you played for me and we know each other really well. But thanks for coming on, man.
Not a problem at all. Not a problem at all.
Well, I want to get into this. I really want to know, because you and I have talked about it, and I was telling stories earlier about how even once you were playing for the Panthers, I mean, getting ready for the playoffs, I mean, you still would FaceTime me and want to know what the game plan looked like, what's the outcome going to be. You've always been very involved.
I was about to tell you why I was always involved, because I did so much trash talking in the locker room that I needed to know what I was getting myself into.
you had to make sure it was going to be backed up.
Exactly. And at the time, we weren't always the most consistent team every week. So I had to check in with somebody who I knew who would give me the real info.
Keep it real with you, huh?
Keep it real with you.
I got you. Well, here's what I really want to know. What do you think of this new Ohio State this year?
I love them. I think, honestly, they're just the best team since 2015, all around.
I agree.
And I think that the biggest change is the scheme change. I think the defense.
Yeah, absolutely.
The offense has always been the offense. That has never been the issue for us. The issue for us has always been, are we going to be able to stop anybody?
Yep.
And I think that man zone switch was the biggest thing that helped us as a team. Playing man-to-man is not the best thing to do in college, especially when every college quarterback is damn near mobile.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody has their back to the quarterback. So even if we are covering great quarterbacks running, they're right, setting screens up. And I think this zone defense that they turned into, this cover three, this cover two, where everybody has their eyes on the quarterback at all times and everything stays in front of you, is the best thing that we could have done. This is honestly the sole reason to me of why the defense is better, because we changed from man to zone.
Yeah, no doubt. And so that was going to be one of my questions is, you know, being a guy that has seen a multitude of defenses and went against a number of defensive backs, what do you think the advantages are to a defensive back, to a corner specifically, not having to play press every snap? And the person I think of on the biggest stage is Josh Norman, who can play a zone corner and probably not as talented as a Marshawn Lattimore or someone like that. But like, just talk to me about the advantages of that coming from a professional wide receiver standpoint.
Honestly, I don't want to say it's easier to play zone, but it's simpler.
Right.
You know what I mean? Playing man-to-man coverage on anybody is a tough job. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
In zone, you have responsibilities. In man, it's mano-a-mano. It's different.
No doubt.
It's all about being disciplined.
Yeah.
Every great zone corner can't play man-to-man.
Right.
Like, it just doesn't happen. Like, there's been countless amount of people who have been great cover three corners, and then they go to a scheme where they're playing man, and you just lose track of them because they're just not the same anymore.
There's
when
no
you're
doubt.
In zone, you have help. There's help everywhere. There's help when you're inside. It may not be helping you out, but there's help. So you always can shade players to your help when you're in the zone.
Right, and you know where it is.
Keep your eyes on the quarterback. Right, exactly.
Yeah.
You have one responsibility. It's not like man where you have to cover this person the entire field. But at the end of the day, if you're playing man, that's your guy.
Yeah.
If you're playing zone, I can play an area, and whoever comes in my area is who I got. And it's a lot more simpler, which why most teams have more success playing zone than man. Because on top of that, not saying Ohio State hasn't had the corners to play man, because they have. It's just it's not great. It's not a great scheme for college. And that zone switch is literally the best thing they could have done.
And that kind of goes back to that's the moral of the story, right? Even with first, second round corners, if there's a struggle in man coverage, that would tell you they'll be that much better in zone, right?
Exactly. It doesn't matter how good your corners are. It's tough to play man-to-man on anybody, let alone Division I wide receivers. It's
yeah.
tough.
No doubt. And so one of the biggest things I've seen is they at least have the skill and the talent at corner to go play man every now and then, so they're not just exactly. always in zone, but they give them that relief that they've never had in the last couple years.
Exactly.
Well, I'm with you. So tell me what you think about the offense specifically, like and Justin Fields and what he's doing in his first year.
Fields brings a different animal to the offense. He brings something that every college quarterback needs, and he brings mobility. People don't understand that. In college, quarterbacks that can run are literally the best college quarterbacks. Yeah, they may not transfer over and be the best pros. Like Haskins was an unbelievable college quarterback, but you see when he got pressure, what he did.
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't run. And then towards the end of the year, they started making him run a little more. And Haskins is a good pro quarterback. That's what he's a pro-style quarterback. I think Fields is more of a quarterback that you will want in college because he can extend plays. He can run. I don't want to say he's like Braxton, but he's a quarterback that can literally score at any moment. And because he's, you know what I mean? He's that good.
Absolutely. And the crazy thing about these athletic quarterbacks is there's definitely a possibility for a carryover into the NFL, but it's so rare. And you played with one guy, Cam Newton, who's an athletic guy that has carried over really well. Michael Vick, there's other ones that it does carry over, but that's just such a rarity, you know?
It is rare. It is rare. And honestly, it's all about systems. Whatever system you get into, if a team is willing to mold their system to your playing style, then you could be successful. That's what Carolina did with Cam. That's what the Falcons did with Vic.
Yep.
That's what the Ravens are doing right now with Lamar Jackson. You have to mold your offense to your franchise player in order for that to work.
And you got to highlight their skill set, right?
Exactly. Let them do what they do best. Don't try to make them be somebody that they aren't. Like, just because they're not a pocket quarterback don't mean they're not a good quarterback. Just let them do what they do best. Lamar Jackson is a hell of an athlete. I would love to have him at quarterback. He ain't a pro-style quarterback. He's a quarterback that's going to throw touchdowns and make plays with his feet.
You know what's funny is, and I know you'll remember this from your time at Ohio State. I always used to tell you guys, when Braxton Miller is the quarterback, there's no such thing as like a runoff route or a dead route, because he'll break the pocket and find you, and you better be prepared.
He'll find you on a run play.
Right, right. That's a fact.
I was telling somebody yesterday at the gym how every now we would call an option to the right, and he would just go left.
Oh, yeah.
If it was open, he'd just go left.
And then he would score, and it'd be hard as a coach to tell him he did something wrong. So tell me this. Here's what I think people would want to know, and I'm kind of curious. We've talked about it a little bit, but talk to me about being an Ohio State Buckeye in an NFL locker room. Like, what's the perception among other schools once you get to the NFL of Ohio State?
It holds weight. It definitely holds weight in the NFL. You know, when you go into a locker room, there's normally two or three Buckeyes on every team.
Yeah.
And they know that the Buckeyes, honestly, Buckeye players always play great ball. They know that. Like, it just holds weight. And then when it comes to bragging rights, because the NFL locker room, college is literally all the bragging rights you can do. Nobody talks about high school. Nobody talks about, you know, PA. Everybody talks about college. You know, you're always on a team with a player who went to a university that you're playing this week. So there's always some kind of, you know, friendly wagers or trash talk, constant trash talk about who can do this, who's going to do this, who's winning it all. If you ask me, Ohio State and Bama hold the most weight in the NFL locker room. They talk the most because they win the most.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So kind of staying on that topic of the NFL, because I know people are so intrigued on what it's like to be an NFL athlete and really how it works. And I had a long conversation with Braxton Miller probably 3 weeks ago about it. Just talk to me about the politics in the NFL. I mean, shoot, you were a guy that went undrafted, then all of a sudden you're starting in the Super Bowl, making big plays, you're all over the field, all over SportsCenter, and then a couple years later you get traded to Buffalo, and it's like, what is going on in the NFL?
Yeah, it's a business. At the end of the day, I know everybody says that all the time, but, I mean, it really is. At the end of the day, a team is going to do what's best for them. You know what I mean? And they're going to, even if they think that you can be the greatest player in the world, you just have to know that the team is always looking to replace you somehow.
Yeah.
They're always looking to get better. They're always looking, you know what I mean, in all positions. So it doesn't matter what you've done in the past. It doesn't matter if your name is freaking, I mean, they drafted Jimmy Garoppolo with Tom Brady. They drafted Aaron Rodgers with Brett Favre at quarterback. I mean, teams are always looking to get better constantly. And I mean, it's serious when they tell you it's a business. They want to go younger. They want to do this. They want to do that. You have to just adjust, man. It's all about adjustment, not letting that shit get to your head. You're just going with it and then going hard wherever you go.
That's it. So I got one more question before I get into the kind of this last rapid fire thing. If you had one piece of advice for either a recruit or a current college player, or even like a young NFL player, what piece of advice would you give that kid?
Recruit, I would tell him to take his time. It's funny. I just was talking to one. I would literally say, just take your time with the process. Yep. You know what I mean? And think about more than just football. That's something that I really didn't do. Not saying that I would have chosen a different college, because I 100% wouldn't have. But I would say take your time and think about more than just football, because life is so much bigger than just football. No matter how long you can play 20 years. You still got 50 years of your life to live.
No doubt.
So I would say take your time. Worry about open all doors. Give everybody a chance, because you never know what fits you best. Going to schools like Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama, it's not always the best thing to do. Yeah, it's cool, but you know, it may not fit you. You may be better at a school like, you know, OU or something like that. If you're going to play right away, Cincinnati, if you're going to play right away. I mean, I was telling somebody the other day, you can get to the NFL from anywhere if you can ball.
Right.
It's simple as that. If you can ball, you can get in there from anywhere. Now, why not ball early?
It's almost,
if you're going to go to Ohio State, you're going to come in with two other five stars at your position.
No doubt. And it's almost, you know, it's almost like kids, high school kids get more worried about like clout chasing than actually like the best situation.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Dude, I visited Temple. Yeah, it was in my city, but I had Alabama, I had Ohio State, I had Florida State, but I went and visited Temple also.
Right.
You honestly, and Temple was better than Penn State. I'm not even joking. Other than the neighborhood, and you know how North Philly is. Other than the neighborhood, the facilities, you know, the weight room, the cut. Temple was way better than Penn State. Yeah. I went up and visited Penn State. I was like, "What is this? That's my thing. Like, you never know what these schools have to offer. Like, yeah, Temple's not the biggest school, but it's bonuses to go into school like that. You'll play early, and you'll always have a chance at the NFL, because it's still Division One. You still play big time games.
Yeah,
and you'll be playing as a freshman, as opposed to going to Ohio State. You could be the best player in the world and not play till you're a senior.
Yeah, happens all the time.
All the time.
What about talk to me about advice to a current college football player?
I would tell him to work hard, because I have seen dudes make the NFL and being hard workers when they get to the league.
Yep.
Now how they get to the league is, I mean.
Yep, that's it.
At the end of the day, it's all about work. Teams like player people who are going to work nonstop.
Yep.
I would just say, if your work ethic ain't there, it needs to get there.
Yep.
Because you can literally play 10 to 15 years in the league off your work ethic.
The guy, and you played with him, you know him as well, or you know him better than I do. The guy that I always talked about was John Simon. Where now he has he has a lot of talent, but he was one of the most dominant D linemen in the Big Ten because of his effort.
Because of his effort, man. Effort can make plays, literally. It really can.
Well, now I want to do the last thing I want to do is the thing I'm calling the Menace Minute. I'm going to rapid fire like five questions at you. You just give me a quick answer. You're just an instant reaction answer, all right?
Okay.
All right, first thing, favorite moment as a Buckeye, go.
Winning 24 straight games.
24 straight games, gotcha. All right, now best player you've ever seen play at Ohio State.
Damn, that's a lot. Can I give you three?
Give me three.
Carlos, Braxton, Roby.
Perfect. All right, how about this one? Favorite Buckeye player that you've watched on TV after you were done playing?
Mike Thomas.
All right.
You know who I'm talking about.
I know who you're talking about. All right, how about craziest thing that you saw in recruiting?
Craziest thing I saw in recruiting? Naked girls. naked girls in the bar.
Oh, all right. How about you versus Bradley Roby one-on-one in college? What was your record? Give me a win percentage.
Probably 97 to 99% win percentage.
So he might have got you once or twice in your career?
If that.
All right, well, those are the rapid questions. I got one final question for you, and this is one that people will really want to hear about. Talk to me about the transition early in your career when Urban Meyer and all of us walked in the door, and just talk about that transition and how that went.
I didn't like y'all. I don't think nobody did, honestly. It wasn't one person in that building that liked y'all. Not the trainers, not the players, not the academic people. And they didn't like y'all because y'all, you know, when I sit back and think about it now, I'm like, that's honestly how I would be as a coach, not as strict, more team, like more player guy, but, you know, I would put my foot down.
Right.
Because it works. And I don't say that it makes you scared, but it makes young guys scared to mess up.
Right.
The way he coaches, the way Mick is in the weight room, you know what I mean? The way y'all had the academic people on it, it makes you kind of like you don't want to mess up. You don't want to be on the bad side. So you're going to do extra shit to make sure that you're on top of your game come Saturday. Because you don't want to mess up. Because you don't want to hear Urban's mouth. That's one. If you hear Urban's mouth, you got to hear Mick's mouth. If you hear Mick's mouth, then you're hearing your position. You don't want to hear that. Especially if you're a young guy. I was a junior when y'all came, so it was a little different for me.
Yeah.
But if you're a young guy, it literally makes you scared to mess up. And I can tell, and I've heard it from guys, I don't want to mess up.
Right.
You better do something.
It's because it was.
You better do something. You don't want to hear Urban's mouth. I don't want to hear Urban's mouth. Don't nobody want to hear Urban's mouth. Let's just get this together. And I think honestly that was a big part of us winning 24 straight games because we were disciplined as hell.
Yeah.
And you know, Trent did a good job with us, man. But it was a different style of coaching. Yeah. All that honest evaluation shit that we would laugh at and shit in the locker room. That shit was real.
Yep.
That look yourself in the mirror shit because you really ain't that good. We weren't good. You got to think about it. We won six games with the same players that we went 12-0 with the following year.
Right. Same players.
The same exact players. Because the culture changed. When y'all came in, y'all was about business. We couldn't even hit the locker room when y'all first came. I don't know if you remember that. We had to sit outside.
Oh, I remember. I got kicked out. Banned from the locker room.
Exactly. And I think the culture change was the biggest. Nobody liked you guys at the time, but once we started winning, it was like, damn, this shit works.
Yeah.
it works. You know what I mean? And when you realize that if you just do your shit right, you'll be good. You'll have the fucking best time there. You'll be good. Just do your shit right. I think it works. And I like that style of coaching, the honest evaluation part.
Well, and ultimately, if you really analyze it, which I know you have, you didn't get along specifically with Urban or really me that much. And then by the end of it, that was not the case anymore.
Right. Exactly. Because once I realized that what y'all was doing was helping me and it was actually working. Because once you see results on the field, I mean, I go from having the 13 catches my first year, my freshman year, to 15 the next year to when y'all got there, 60, 65.
Right.
once you see results, you're like, damn. They're putting me in a position to succeed. They're, you know, they're training me the right way. I'm going hard at practice now. I never did that before. I'm going crazy at practice and it's paying off in the games. I don't, why do they want me to go so hard at practice? Like, why? Yep. Then you get in the game and everybody's moving slow as hell and you out there just going because you play so hard at practice and it's, the games are so easy.
That's for sure.
But I mean, I like it. I like it, and I preach that still to this day when I'm talking to people. I'm like, y'all don't understand. Practice, like when I was in the league, you can ask any coach that I played for. Practice, I was going.
Yep.
I was going at practice because when you get into those games, it's like, it sounds cliche, but it's the truth.
That's for sure.
When you get into those games, it's so much easier because you done practice this shit full speed all week.
No
you
doubt.
Get to the game, it's like a joke. It's a joke how easy it is to do it.
Yeah, that's for sure. That is for sure. Well, I appreciate you coming on, Philly. We need to have you back on. I want to hear your opinion of some of these big games coming up afterwards, like the Wisconsin game, Penn State
anytime,
game.
I'll definitely do Wisconsin. That'll be a good one. Wisconsin, I'll do any game you need to do.
Hey, I figure Wisconsin, that'd be your deal, because I know all in college you try to tell people you're really a Wisconsin back, you know?
I really am, though. I'm still.
Well, that sounds like a plan, man. I appreciate you coming on, and we'll get you back on for some of these big games, all right?
Okay, I see you.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's Buckeye great, former NFL starter for the Carolina Panthers, Philly Brown. Appreciate him taking his time and coming on, and he's one of my favorite guys that I've coached. That we've always had great conversation. He's such an intelligent football mind that it's always fun to talk about games and really what I need to. Next time I get him on, I'm going to talk to him about the announcers because it's hilarious. He gets almost as angry as I do. But really appreciate him coming on, and we'll be back right after this. Support for Menace to Society comes from Manscaped, who is number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Halloween is right around the corner, and you don't want to spook someone with your scary bush. You might be Chewbacca, Bigfoot, or a hairy bear, but it's what's under the costume that really matters.
Oh, man, I have a funny story about that. I was a couple years ago, well, actually probably about 6-7 years ago, I wish I would have had these products they sent us, because I wore one of those morph suits Halloween, and I was a little too ungroomed, I think, and it was kind of noticeable.
Oh, you could see it.
Yeah, it was. I had to put some shorts on.
Yeah, that's not good. That's not good. But don't be that hairy guy. Manscaped is forever changing the grooming game with their Perfect Package 2.0. Inside the Perfect Package, you'll find their electric trimmer called the Lawnmower 2.0. This waterproof and skin-safe technology will protect you from nicking your pumpkins. You can also create less mess by trimming in the shower. And of course, let's not forget about the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? The Perfect Package 2.0 also includes anti-chafing performance boxer briefs that keep your package cool and smelling fresh all day. For on-the-go freshness, you'll love the Crop Reviver Ball Toner Spray. It's time to get clean and mean with this Perfect Package 2.0. Fortunately, right now, you're getting 20% off with free shipping using our code MENACE, M-E-N-A-C-E, at manscaped.com. Stay sexy this Halloween. Your balls will thank you. Again, get 20% off of free shipping with the code MENACE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code MENACE. I want to just discuss a couple things that he talked about that are, I think, are critical components to any program, that critical to the successes that Urban Meyer had in his career, that we had as a staff at a program at Ohio State, and the things that I think are really lacking in society in general. The one thing he talked about, if you heard him, he talked about honest evaluation and how people joked about it, but at the end of the day, it was really hard. And honest evaluation was, you always knew where you were, how people viewed you, your reputation, always. It was crystal clear, for good or for bad. If people thought you were a grinder, great player, somebody that did everything right, you were praised, treated with the highest respect. You were treated how you deserve to be treated. But when you weren't that, or when you screwed up, or when you weren't doing what you needed to do, it was point blank shot across the bow at you, and you had to accept it, deal with it, swallow that pill. And it's so uncommon. I mean, people don't like that in general, to look at someone that you care about and be like, you're awful right now. You need to get better. You're not doing things right. I mean, I'm experiencing it now outside of the college football world and the program that I was a part of, where people just don't like that. I mean, they'd rather just not talk to you ever again, even if you're being honest and trying to help them. And that was it was hard, but it led to the development. I mean, people don't like being told that they're not very good or that they're screwing up. And if you do it enough and they actually do care about you and you build that trust, they're going to change because they don't want to be told that every day. And he also talked about look yourself in the mirror, because so often in college football, and this goes to anything, I want to be an entrepreneur, I want to be a millionaire, I want to be a first round draft pick. The thing Urban used to always say, and was our kind of our program mantra, was, do you really? Like, I know you want the millions of dollars. I know you want to say you were in a first round draft pick, but do you want to put in the work to become a Fortune 500 company? Do you want to put in the work to become a first round draft pick? Because your actions need to be that of a first round draft pick then. If they're not, don't talk about, I want to be a first round draft pick. No, you don't. You don't, your actions don't say that. And that was preached endlessly. If your goals don't align with your actions, change your actions or change your goals. Be real with yourself. Don't be full of shit. Say, I want to enjoy college football and I want to have fun and I want to contribute a little bit. That's okay. Don't talk about, I want to be a first round draft pick or a starter or all Big Ten, or don't talk about, I want my company to gross $10 million this year. No, you don't. Or you need to act like it. Your actions need to follow suit, or just change your goals. It's okay to be average. Some people need to be average. And that was the goal or the one of the mantras of the program that I think was so impactful, because it gave you that reality check, like, oh crap, I do want to be a first round draft pick, but I don't act like a first round draft pick. My routine and the things I'm doing are not like a first round draft pick. So I either need to change my goals and outlook, or I need to change my actions and what I'm doing, my routine, so that I can actually achieve that goal and be real with myself. But so that was a good little segment. I want to do that more often, especially with Ohio State having a bye week and this being the Midwest show. Talking other Midwest football, there are a couple games this week that I think are definitely going to be decent games. I don't think there's a game that should have an outcome we don't predict. The first one being Penn State at Iowa. I think that's going to be a decent test for Penn State as far as their offensively. Against Iowa's defense. I mean, Iowa has the fifth-ranked total defense in the country and a stout rushing defense. So it'll be good. It'll be good for Penn State to really finally see if they can run the football and see if they can throw the football and how their offense is going to perform, because their offense right now is relatively decent nationally. But like I mentioned in the other show, going into the analytics, the statistical categorical analytics, I mean, it's a landslide Penn State on offense, defense. As far as rankings, I mean, you're talking about 21, 28 spot difference when you compare the two and combine them together. The one spot that Iowa has the edge that I am really interested to watch is on critical situations when Iowa's on defense and Penn State's on offense. Iowa's defense statistically has a much greater chance of dominating that situation, being third down, red zone, those critical situations when Iowa's on defense. They're about 16 spots higher than Penn State's offense. So that'll be an interesting matchup. Obviously, being in Iowa will also be a test. Buckeye fans know that is not the easiest place to get a win, especially with an Iowa team that's playing well. And if they can get some stuff going on offense, I think this could end up being a decent game. But it's Penn State's first real test, so it's going to be exciting to see how that plays out. The other one is Wisconsin, Michigan State. It's at Wisconsin. It'll be the first time that Wisconsin's going to have to throw the ball to win the game. We know Jonathan Taylor. We know they're a great run team, a rushing offense. We know they're a very, very average passing offense. So if they want to be relevant on a national stage, they're going to need to throw the ball against Michigan State. Now, they're going to have the film on how to do it from the Ohio State game last week. But it's, can they execute the throw game against Michigan State? And then it should be an absolute landslide dominant performance by their defense against that inept Michigan State offense. Those are the two big games of the weekend. Obviously, Ohio State has a bye. Notre Dame plays USC at home. I also think that'll be a relatively smooth win for Notre Dame. I don't see USC with all the issues they have at the quarterback position and the head coach and the AD, and that program's just in turmoil a little bit. So I don't see that being a big a dangerous game for the Midwest. I think Notre Dame rolls in that one. That kind of recaps the weekend games, unless you want to talk about Michigan getting another statement win at Illinois. But the one thing I also wanted to talk about, I just wanted to look at, because it's an Ohio State bye week and they're the road to the playoff through the Midwest goes through Columbus. I wanted to look at if they played today, the two big matchups coming down the road, and we'll go in detail into those matchups later, obviously game week, the week of those games. The first one's Wisconsin-Ohio State. I think everyone's excited to see that matchup. And the two things that I'm looking for on both sides, the kind of mismatches in that game, Wisconsin-Ohio State, is Wisconsin gets after the quarterback, seventh in the country in sacks. Ohio State is 84th in the country in sacks allowed. And I've been critical of the pass pro all year, and it needs to improve. And that's going to be an impact a component of that game, is Wisconsin's defense getting after Justin Fields. And can Greg Studrawa and Tony Alford and Kevin Wilson get that pass pro efficient enough or perform well enough to give him time to execute the offense and throw the ball? And then the other big game coming down the stretch for Ohio State and Penn State is that matchup, which should be another great matchup. Obviously, hopefully, we get to see Penn State for what they're worth this week, and then we'll really be able to jump into the matchups and the statistics. But it's another example. Penn State, fifth in the country in sacks. Ohio State, 84th in sacks allowed. So there's two top 10 pass rushes coming down the road for Ohio State, and that is Ohio State's greatest weakness on offense right now is pass pro. So there's a lot needs to be done in this bye week. Now, I'm going to get into the bye week and what that looks like in a minute, but that's the should be the greatest focus on offense is cleaning up, fine-tuning all aspects, but really, I mean, I don't want to say revamping, but putting a lot of time into pass pro, blitz pickup, technique and pass pro for the offensive line and the running backs and tight ends. That's got to be a huge, huge thing. And then also, Penn State on offense has been abysmal on third down, and that's one of Ohio State's greatest strengths. I mean, they're top 10 third down defense. So it's going to be a great matchup. I don't want to spend too much time on it because obviously things will change, but I just wanted to give Ohio State fans specifically kind of a look into what is coming and what Ohio State needs to be working on in the bye week. Now, speaking of a bye week, I just wanted to talk about what that entails. It's a great opportunity for a couple things to happen. One is the players to get healthy, to get some academic work in. Every program's differently. In Ohio State, usually you'll have about 3 to 4 practices. They will have this weekend off coming up. And so they'll have a chance to two padded practice, coordinator practices, maybe half as long to 60% as long as a normal practice, just to stay crisp, to stay sharp and work on those things that I'm talking about, like pass pro and those deficiencies that they need to improve to go through the second half of the season. The other thing that happens is it gives your coaches a chance to get out of Dodge. I mean, we talked about the life of a coach on a different episode where you're talking about 120 hours a week in an office, in a building, and the only time you get out of that building is to go to practice and then right back in the building. So it gives you a chance to get out. I mean, breathe some fresh air, get on an airplane. They usually travel Sunday night and really through the week. They'll probably come back for one practice, most of the assistants outside the coordinators, and then they'll usually get back Saturday or Friday night, some of them. And it gives them a chance to get with their families and see their kids and get around those important people in their lives that they're really neglecting because of their work schedule. But huge week. Bye weeks are huge weeks for health, for working on those things that maybe it's hard to sink a lot of time into, like special teams and pass pro and some things that you have to do on a management level in a game week. But it's a little different when you have a whole week with no team to game plan for. Now, the other thing that is probably going on, obviously Ohio State is coming off the bye week with a Friday night matchup into Northwestern and then a huge game. I mean, really the game of the season for them against Wisconsin the following week. I would imagine, and I mentioned this before about a lesser opponent in a bye week also, that now they are definitely working on Northwestern. You cannot not work on Northwestern a la Purdue last year. You can't do it. If you do, you'll get beat. They're good enough. So you're going to have about a split staff, half the staff, and this goes for anyone in the country. This is not just specific to Ohio State. You go into a bye week and these big programs, these top 10 programs, top 15 programs, if they have a lesser opponent coming up, they'll usually split the staff. Half the staff will focus solely on Northwestern. The other half will focus solely on Wisconsin. And then this week will be a great opportunity to introduce some maybe Wisconsin schemes or that next opponent schemes in just like a team run setting, just to get them used to seeing maybe that style of defense or that style of offense. And it's not taking away from preparing for Northwestern. It's just preparing for that style of offense or defense. And that half of the staff that's looking ahead has to do a great job and be professional on studying that next opponent and putting together a plan, and then also coming back in and getting caught up by the staff that's working on Northwestern, so they are not walking to a meeting room with no clue of what they're doing when they talk about the upcoming opponent. And it's tough to do. I was always one of those coaches that was the four scout. I was always the coach who would say, all right, you go look at their pass defense, their third down defense, their red zone defense. You really study that so that after Northwestern, you can come in and lay it all on the table, and we'll be way ahead. But it's tough as a coach because you still have to prepare your players for Northwestern. So it's kind of a double duty, and that's probably what's going on right now in Columbus, is these coaches are kind of split staff. They have some outlier coaches that aren't some of the 10 full-time assistant coaches also working on Wisconsin. But make no mistake about it, there is a head start on Wisconsin going on in Columbus right now, and that should give them an advantage going into that game, having put in that extra, I don't know, whatever, 20 hours of work onto Wisconsin before it's even Wisconsin week. So that's kind of the I just wanted to go through a bye week, what it looks like, because I think it's interesting, and I most people don't know that. But that's going to wrap up our show. I appreciate you listening. Make sure, if you're interested in sponsorship, reach out, sponsorship@menacetosocietypodcast.com. Also, if you're interested in joining the platform, the Menace to Sports platform, in any capacity, specifically, we're looking into written content right now, but even other aspects or other contributions, reach out at Zach, Z-A-C-H, at menacetosocietypodcast.com. We appreciate you listening. Hope you enjoyed it. We look forward to getting Philly back on in the future. Also have a couple more interviews and players coming up. I know Devin Smith said he wants to come on. We're going to look at getting some other Buckeyes on. And also I've talked to a number of former players from other schools and current players that are interested in coming on. So this is going to increase frequency of getting the perspective of some of these big names and really legends or icons in these programs to give you a perspective into college football. That's the whole point of the show, right? So thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week for a recap.
Whoa, he has trouble with the snap, and the ball is free. It's picked up by Michigan State's Jalen Watts Jackson, and he scores on the last play of the game. Unbelievable.
No man is more important than the team. No coach more important than the team. Team.
What a hit! Denzel Ward! You got barbecue right there, and you didn't invite me! Hurt my feelings!
Did you push yourself to be great today? Did you do it? If you didn't do it, you lost today.
Don't let that beast stand in the way! Go away!
Menace to...